Live from the Independent Sports Bar and Grill, back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Scolded today. Looked at my screen time on my phone. And I'm creeping up about almost to 14 hours of daily screen time. And here's my excuse. I got a bunch of notifications for social media. Been following this Pac-12 stuff. We're in the meat of college football season. I'm not making excuses, but I am making excuses. Our next guest, Dan Lanning, Oregon football coach. We're going to start by talking about your screen time. How much are you on your phone these days?
Too much, but 14 hours, man, that sounds unhealthy right there.
It's kind of gross.
I don't think I'm that. I don't think I'm hitting that mark.
Why don't you check it right now? You got it handy right by you? Let me tell me, what is
I'm actually on it right now.
Okay.
How do you check your screen time?
Go into your settings. Go into that, you know, that settings thing, and then scroll down. It's kind of in that second group at the bottom of that second group. And
five-hour, 24-minute average is what it says.
Okay. All right. That's not bad. That sounds
Which still seems a lot. Still seems like a lot to me.
Oh, man. Yeah. I know I need to get off my phone. That's the thing. Hey, before we get into any of the stuff, I'm not going to ask you all the stuff that you've been asked all week. You know, when we do these interviews, we don't do that. So you can relax. I'm not going to ask you about health care and the economy. You know, we're not going to talk about that stuff. But I got to know, I thought the jersey, the Heroes jersey last week, it was one of the coolest things in my time being here watching jerseys get designed to see your family involved in that. How did they react to kind of the warm reception that that got from everybody else?
Yeah, it was one of those kind of awe moments, you know, where you look afterwards and you realize how many people got to share in that moment. Certainly not just our family, but all people who were affected by cancer. I think that meant a lot to my crew getting to be a part of that.
And you, after the games, get to see your family, but was that one a little special for that reason with Sophia's battle and having the kids there and kind of felt like a full circle moment?
Yeah, it was. You know, the night before the game, her and I were visiting, and I just told her, I said, I hope we go perform well just because there's, you know, some extra stuff that's going on, and I don't want that to ever be considered a distraction, and I wanted us to do a good job on the field, you know, just because of the circumstance, and it worked out exactly how you'd hope it worked.
What if your kids end up being like they launch a sneaker company or an apparel company, and they design uniforms and clothes and sneakers someday? Like, and we can look back to that moment being like, that was the pivot point. Because I thought they all – I love the ice cream cone, too. That was such a warm, nice touch.
No doubt. That was really cool. But, yeah, they better figure something out. They need to get jobs, that's for sure. So that would be an awesome path if they like that and they're passionate about it. I'm all for it.
Yeah, but you got to let them be kids, too, right? I mean, you have a balance, and they're all playing sports and musical instruments and that stuff, too. What are they involved in right now? Give us a peek into the Lanning household.
Yeah, Titans into football right now, kind of in the middle of it. I think they had their last home game this past week. And then Caden, he's in the band right now. So he's doing marching band at Sheldon High School. They had a competition last week. And Niles is being Niles, man. Niles is still writing stories, making movies, doing whatever he can.
I like that. Hey, what instrument is Caden playing?
Plays the clarinet.
Okay. You could deal with that, right? That's not like drums in the back bedroom in the house.
Yeah, no doubt. I still remember a few years ago, Sophia got a drum set, and it's one of the worst days of my life. But I haven't heard the drums played in a long time, so that kind of came and went. Thank the Lord.
Did Daniel Lanning play an instrument ever?
I was in band for my sixth grade year, I believe. I played the saxophone.
Okay, I could see that.
It kind of came and went. But it was good for a while. And then I grew up like taking piano lessons and playing the piano a little bit. So yeah. I couldn't play anything, but Mary had a little lamb on it now, probably.
High school football games. I had somebody email me and say, hey, when was the last time you went to a high school football game? And I was like, you know what? I need to get out to a high school football game. You get out occasionally on like a bye week. You'll get a chance to go recruit and go to a high school football game. And you remember your own games in that atmosphere. Are high school games still delivering like they used to when you were a kid and you played? And because you've seen them over the years recruiting. Do they still feel have that special magical feel?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing quite like, you know, Friday Night Lights. And certainly it matters, you know, where you're at and who you're going to watch too. You know, some places are a little bit more passionate. I grew up in one of those towns where, like, the town shut down on Friday night for the high school football game. And you get the little kids game, you know, playing over off the side of the field, you know, where all the, you know, third graders and second graders are tackling each other in the grass. I mean, there's a lot of things that make high school football special.
Last week, Jordan Burch was dominant. He was distracting and he was disruptive. And what did you make of his game?
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing really good football all season for us. I'm really proud of his progress and, you know, how we've been able to highlight him, and he's been able to take advantage of those moments.
The defensive effort in general last week, I thought it was one of the most impressive since you've been here. Give me an idea of what was going right for you guys. What were you doing?
I think our coaching staff's done a great job of, you know, putting guys in situations that are going to be successful, of, you know, breaking down the opponent. I think our players have done a really good job of executing at a high level, you know, identifying. We always talk about don't farm somebody else's land. Do your job, right? And that's so important on defense. There's 11 guys out there, but every guy has a different job and a different assignment, and I thought our players have done a good job of that the last 2 weeks.
There's so much buildup for this game that, you know, we've been – you got asked about it in July. You got asked about it when the schedule came out. It's game day, game into town. How do you kind of, you know, you want your guys to be emotionally high, but how do you manage kind of the, hey, stay in your shoes sort of, you know, message to them?
Well, I think that's the piece. I don't think I'm going to have to go out here and ask for extra energy from any of these guys in this game. They're going to be gassed up and juiced and ready to go. The key is making sure you're able to control those emotions and go perform your job, which I think our team will be able to do.
Dan Lanning with us, Oregon football coach. Do you have a song? Do you have a playlist song that, you know, that you've been listening to this week? Do you have something on the game playlist? You driving to the stadium, driving to work Saturday, what will you play?
I don't think I have anything new here. I can take a look and see if there's anything that's been added recently to the game day playlist. Let me pull it up here. Recent game day additions. let's see. We've got The Type by Real Boston Richie. I heard it being played at practice the other day. I kind of like that one. So,
okay.
And YTB Fat. It wouldn't normally be like my go-to, but I heard it at practice. I kind of enjoyed it. So, that's on the playlist now. Nothing else. That's nothing else really new.
When you pick a song, do you tend to gravitate towards, you know, are you kind of in a chill mode as you're listening to this stuff, or is this like really it's go time, game time? Give me something that has got great energy to it. You know, when you're picking songs, do you see a trend on your list?
No, it's kind of all over the place. I'm certainly not trying to be like Latimer on the program. There's definitely some, you know, get you in the zone games, but there's also some probably a little bit more chiller songs on there as well.
You know, it's morbid. I'm going to tell you something morbid that I don't tell people often, but I have a playlist on my phone that is in case I die. These are the songs that should be played at my memorial. Is that a good thing
that's
to
epic.
Do? Is
no,
it?
I think that's epic. Yeah, I mean, as long as somebody knows about it. I don't have that playlist yet, but it sounds like that's something I need to get.
You're too young. And you're not bungee jumping. You're not skydiving. I live a wild life, okay, over here. Dad of three daughters. So 14 hours a day on my phone. Come on. You kidding me? Dan Lanning with us. All right, this matchup, I want you to maybe talk a little bit about you guys. Dylan Gabriel, you know, I know he's got it in him. I'm waiting for him really to look comfortable. How do you get him comfortable as a quarterback? I don't even know the science of that.
Yeah, I think it's time, experience. You know, you got to pack a lot into a short period, but there's been some moments this year where Dylan's been, you know, absolutely unbelievable. I think his maturity, you know, his poise, you know, within the game is something that I really appreciate. His competitive spirit is something I really appreciate from him. So this will be a great, great week to see it all come together for him.
Here's The Type, Real Boston Richie. Let's hear Dan Lanning's newest song.
By the way, cut her off 'cause she ain't- in the masquerade.
I can go play my tickets.
I see what you're doing here. That's not going on my memorial list, but it might make my playlist.
It's not making mine either. But, you know, the players are really enjoying it at practice the other day. I said, okay, I might throw that on the playlist.
Yeah, I love it. I'm broadcasting from a sports bar, and there's a bunch of Ohio State fans here that are in the bar. They're watching the Tigers in Cleveland play a baseball game. Did you grow up as a Royals fan, being a Kansas City guy, or did you have a baseball team?
It's always Kansas City. It's Royals and Chiefs for sure.
What do you remember of the Royals? Did you go to the stadium at all, or I know you went to a Chiefs game.
Yeah, when I was growing up, I mean, youngest memories was George Brett. Getting to see him in action, and it was still a little bit more of the tail end of his career, so it wasn't quite the same. But for the majority of my life, the Royals were just okay. So I remember in college, we'd go to Royals games and we'd kind of wait in the parking lot until like the fifth inning or sixth inning, and they'd open the gates and we'd go in for free. So it's changed a little bit since then, but always will be pulling for the Royals for sure.
All right, it's a long season. It's a long journey. I mean, there might be a team this year that gets to play 18 football games. So they all matter, but give me an idea of, kind of between now and kickoff on Saturday, is most of the work done? Is it now about fine-tuning? Is it a little bit of film? Because I think, is there a point where you can do too much preparation? Take us through, like, maybe the next 36 hours for you.
Yeah, I guess what I'd say to build off of that is your installation is pretty much done. Like, your game plan's put in, and now it's about fine-tuning. It's about eliminating, taking things out that you don't feel as good about going to the game, maybe adjusting a route concept or a blocking scheme or a fit potentially, but not a lot of adjustments anymore. Now it's a little bit more about fine tuning. It's about, reviewing the plan, making sure everybody's on the same page.
I've got chance to see you guys frequently. I've watched some Ohio State. I can't figure out, it takes a while till you see good teams play good teams to figure out, who's good. But when you watch Ohio State on film, you see great personnel, great athleticism. What do you see?
Yeah, there isn't a weakness watching their team. Really good across the board, really well coached. Do a great job of changing it up, kind of keeping you on your toes with the scheme that they utilize. But you see a really good team.
Will you have fun when you're on the field on Saturday, or is the coaching – does the fun come kind of afterward, looking back? Or is that a weird question? Are you having fun when you're out there because you're watching your guys compete?
I love what I do. Yeah, I love what I do. Obviously, you have fun when the result matches, but I enjoy the process for sure. It's fun to be in a competitive environment where the decisions you make matter. And, I try my best to always make sure I'm enjoying it.
Your defensive secondary, I'm looking at those guys, and I see guys that are going to play in the NFL, and, you've coached at different levels where you maybe weren't coaching guys that were going to the NFL at one point. And how different is that kind of coaching when you have guys that are elite that have a chance to play in the best league that there ever was, versus maybe if you're coaching a high school team where guys are just playing because this is a fun thing to do and something to put on their college resume?
Well, it's fun regardless. Some of the most enjoyable moments of my career were coaching high school football. And it's when you get to coach guys that have a love of the game, that makes it a lot of fun for you as a coach. That being said, it's always fun to coach the best.
All right. You get a question every time you come on. What do you want to ask me?
Yeah, so what's for dinner tonight? And then where are you at? What's the location?
I'm in downtown Portland at the Independent Sports Bar. There's 24 TVs, if you can believe it. They've got a bunch of – everything's on. Dinner tonight is to be determined, because on the way home, Anna's going to text me. I'm going to meet them somewhere. But I've had pasta, I think, three nights in a row, so it's not going to be pasta. I was supposed to ask you, what have you been eating? What did you have last night?
Okay, great question. I believe it or not, I had pasta. Yeah. Right? So we're kind of the same.
Red sauce?
Kind of the same wavelength.
You do a red sauce?
I like doing both. I like doing both. I do some meaty red and throw some Alfredo on it as well.
Ooh. Man, that's rich stuff. All right, stay off your phone. I'm worried about your phone habits. Your music's good. Your music's good. I will see you Saturday. I hope you're having fun out there, and I'll talk to you after the game. I appreciate you coming on with us.
You bet. Thanks, John. Have a good one.
All right. Dan Lanning, Oregon football coach. Steven, you got a song again? Can I hear it again? Can you cue that back up?
Give me a second here.
I want to hear this song again. It's, as Steven pointed out, it's the type, Real Boston Richie is the song.
The problem is I got to find the part that is clean. So
you have to go to the – it's that kind of song.
I even searched the clean version, and then I listened within the first 20 seconds, and they were still cursing in it. So just give me a second here.
I like the vibe of it. What do I say? I like the beat. I like the beat. Yeah.
Hey, go on that smoke, send them yangers, bonds away, cut her off because she ain't – in a masquerade, I can say rap and hit a trap shot.
Can you see Dan Lanning like roll into the game listening to this? What'd you think of his appearance there, Steven? My goal is always to not, you know, if I'm going to ask him, like, what are you doing in 12 personnel? Is Jordan Birch injured or not injured? He seemed to talk about Birch as though he'll be part of the game. You know, what did you feel about his vibe in general?
He seemed relaxed, I thought. I thought it was very relaxed today, even more than usual. Like, almost like he's so prepared. You know, he always is prepared, I think, for every single game. But I think, you know, we've been talking about this game for months. I know they've been thinking about this game for months as well, like, no matter what they're all going to say. I feel like he was very relaxed today on the show. It was a really good performance out of Dan Lanning. Like, he gave some really good answers. He was ready to shoot you some questions at the end, as he always is.
Yeah.
I think he was ready for it.
I think, as he said, the install is done. And the game's coming. Game day on Saturday morning. It's going to be a spectacle in Eugene. You know, it won't be like Berkeley, but it's gonna be Eugene on game day.
It's not a relief for him that it's over, that the game plan's over, but it's almost like a relief. Like, all right, we did all what we have to do. Now it's just let's go play the game. And like you asked him, does he have fun? And yeah, he has fun coaching the best of the best.
It's funny, like some really good coaches that I've covered on a regular basis have all sort of had the same thought on game day. They will talk about game day as if it's the easiest part because it's out of their hands at some point. And yeah, there's play calls and there's decisions to be made, but players have to execute or not execute. And, you know, if your right guard misses a block, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't call the play harder to make him make the block, right? And you can't, you know, coach harder on the sideline and make your defensive back be in better position. The work to this point is done, and then you have to kind of turn to the players and go, hey, you know, we've talked about what to do. We've prepared you. Now go out and do it. But there's been – I really do worry a little bit about this game from not just Oregon's standpoint, but from Ohio State's standpoint. There's been a lot of buildup. Like, it's a very unusual regular season game when you think about the length of time that this game has been talked about. This is a game that has been talked about since the day the schedule came out. And it was talked about years before because Ohio State was supposed to come to Autzen Stadium during the pandemic. Game got canceled. And so it's almost like, you know, I don't want to say it's as big as a Super Bowl, but the buildup to it and the run-up to it feels that way. And I kind of wonder about how these teams will react as kickoff approaches or when Ohio State maybe throws that first punch or Oregon throws that first punch and is up 7-0 or whatever. I was watching back you know how all these teams now will put out a video? Everybody's doing the video like 2-3 days after the game. Vanderbilt put out their video about how they pulled off this upset of Alabama. Their coach was talking about his players not having to do anything extraordinary to win the game days before the game. He was telling his players in meetings that, you know, you are in position. You are in control. It was a very measured sort of pitch to his players and a very measured approach to his players as he was kind of telling them, you're in position, the work has been done, you have put in the work. And then even at halftime, they weren't jumping around screaming and yelling in the Vanderbilt locker room. They were very quiet and listening to their coach, who was saying, you have teed up the opportunity here to go win this game. It's teed up. It's in front of you. Go get it.
A thing that I really liked that Dane Lanning said, John, and it kind of goes with the relax, he's prepared. When you asked, you did ask about Ohio State, he said, yeah, there's no weaknesses. Like, he knows that they have – the Oregon's going to have to play their A game to win this game, and he is prepared for it. Like, that's how it came across to me, is like, I know this team is going to be great, Ohio State coming in, and we have to be at our best, and we are right now. We are as prepared as we fully can be, and nothing's going to, you know, jump on us. So I love that answer that he gave. Like, because usually you'll find something to say, like, oh, yeah, you know, they're good at this, but we can kind of run the football. No, they have no weaknesses. Like, what are we going to do? We have to figure it out. I actually like that answer. Like, it sounds like he is so prepared for this game.
I'll tell you three things that I think are in Oregon's favor. And, you know, we're going to get into our picks here in the next segment as we talk about our picks for the weekend. And I'm going to give you my official pick for this Oregon-Ohio State game coming up. But Oregon's got three things in its favor. It's the home team, and it has Autzen Stadium. And I think that stadium and the fans in that stadium will be a factor. And I'm not sure Ohio State understands that because they haven't played there. Woody Hayes, you know, 1967, whatever, could tell you, you know, he was there or whatever, but it's different. It's just a different environment. Second thing is you've got Ohio State traveling across multiple time zones playing a game. That has been a trend, to say the least, if not an outright fact, that those teams have struggled in traveling across time zones. I wonder how that will affect Ohio State. And then, of course, the third intangible, Oregon has played not A games against Idaho and Boise State, but found itself having to make plays to win. Ohio State has not. And I kind of wonder, Stephen, if we get into a 30-27 game or a 31-30 game or a 27-28 game, if Oregon is better equipped than Ohio State to know what to do in those circumstances.
My rebuttal would be, though, is Ryan Day more prepared than Dan Lanning in those type of situations? That's where Lanning's kind of lost a couple of games going for it on fourth down. I think they were the right calls, but, you know, it's been very criticized going for the fourth down.
But I'm going to say this season, though, Ohio State hasn't been in a close game.
That's true.
Oregon's been in multiple close games.
You think if it is a fourth down situation, Lane is going to go for it? Because he's been a little more passive, I would say, this year than
he has. I don't know if he's been passive.
Passive's the wrong word.
I think he is operating like he has the better team. I wonder if he goes for it on fourth down on Saturday, knowing that it's like stealing a possession. All right, we'll give our picks coming up. Stick around.